Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net! Mamma mia! Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elis! Albert Elis! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
We're going to have some fun here tonight because a number of great guests on this program here tonight, including one in studio. I'm not going to reveal him just yet, although if you're watching this on the website, you will know who it is, but I'm not going to tell anybody yet. Dawn is upon us. 25th season of Major League Soccer. Hard to believe. Man, I've had the privilege of working it as a commentator since its inception. That's scary in itself. Tonight, we're going to comprehensively break down the Dynamo opener here in 2020. LA Galaxy in town with Chicharito. And I think people forget commercially after David Beckham, this is going to end up being one of the most impactful signings in Major League Soccer. Today, Liverpool 3-2 over West Ham. Wijnaldum, Salah, and Mane. My two stars of the game in that one, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andrew Robertson. I mean, you talk about two wide guys that just consistently get it done, up and down, seem to be in the lineup all the time. Also, RIP, Harry Gregg, Manchester United goalkeeper from Northern Ireland, passed away. If you remember in the Busby Babe crash, the Munich air disaster, he was a man that was actually dragging people out of the fuselage of the plane, if you've ever read that book. So Harry Gregg passing away, and our great friend Tom Clare, who continues his fight against cancer, had just recently been over and spent 2 days with Harry Gregg in Northern Ireland. So tonight on the show, Todd Ramos, you're going to love this interview, and I'm going to say it right now because Tab is very upfront. He'll talk about his team. He's going to give us something to sink our teeth into here as listeners, as fans of the Dynamo. I think this area is so important. He's going to lead from there. Looking forward to that. Kevin Baxter of the LA Times will join us on the show here today. And then we have a 25th season piece that Dave Durr, who was the coach of the Dallas Burn for 4 years, we're going to talk to him about the early years of Major League Soccer, also coaching Hugo Sanchez, who, by the way, was a five-time Pichichi winner in La Liga with Real Madrid. Still remains probably, in the minds of many, the greatest ever Mexican soccer player. Dynamo opener on Saturday. We're pumped 2:30 Central Time, BBVA Stadium. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. We stream at ESPN 975. And, of course, as always, we are presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you to John and his firm. They are what gets us on the air, along with Advantage BMW Midtown and Hugh O'Connor. So big shout out to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, who not only presents this show here in Houston, but he also presents our Austin show, which will be on Thursday. All right, mystery guest, time to reveal him. He is the one and only. Drum roll. Do we have any drum roll music, Andrew Carlson? What do you got? That's it? All right. It is Eddie Robinson, the former Houston Dynamo defender. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, my man. How are you?
It's great to have you in studio here. And I think, I guess the first thing I would just say to you, you entered the league in 2001 after a couple of years of it being started in 96. Just some impressions on basically where it is going into year 25 and what surprises you and what maybe doesn't surprise you.
2001 was a fantastic year for me personally, my first year in the league. Going in, the offseason between 2001 and 2002 was a bit scary because there was contraction. The league lost Tampa, the league lost Miami, and there were three owners of the other 10 teams, I believe. It was the Hunt family, Phil Anschutz, and
Kraft.
Yes, the Kraft family. They kept this league afloat. Yeah. They put money in when nobody else would.
2001 is the year that people say this league could have went under.
Well, without question, at the end of it, without question. But those guys, it's not a coincidence that they saw what this could become, and that they are some of the greatest businessmen, business families in the history of this country. Right? It's not a coincidence. So they stuck with it. They had a plan. They kept it in place. Slow growth. And now I'm looking at some of these salaries that some of these guys are making, and I'm just, I'm wishing I came along about 10 years later, you know, with now with over 20 teams, and back then there were 10. I mean, the talent pool, there are guys that are making $300,000-$400,000 now that maybe would have made the 18-man roster in 2001, 2002, before we actually had a recognized collective bargaining agreement and players' union. It's fantastic to see, and I really enjoy it, and I'm not surprised where it's come.
Exciting to see the players moving ahead, and the CBA is going to really push the envelope here of spending for everybody top to bottom in the league. And I think you and I have seen some trades. Julian Gressel from Atlanta moving on, and then also Walker Zimmerman. These guys are leaving maybe the two best environments in all of Major League Soccer. Arguably, I don't want to piss people off in Seattle or Portland, but because they're going to make in the range of, you know, $650,000 to $700,000. That's incredible.
And right now, it's not the norm, but I'd be shocked if we don't start seeing that more, because teams have more money to spend under the salary cap, and we've got new owners coming in the league that are willing to spend to get the best players, to try to build the strongest roster to win Major League Soccer, to win MLS Cup, excuse me. And I think this is going to become the norm. And now, and you're seeing all these Mexican players that are coming here because they think they have a better chance to make it to Europe if they come to the United States and play in Major League Soccer versus if they stay in Liga MX. So it's so much fun to watch. It's fun to be a part of. And we get to watch these guys day in and day out, first person. So I'm excited for the season start.
How about the amount of game changers now that teams seem to be acquiring? You know, maybe back in the day it was one or two, and now you're looking, you're like, wow, teams have three and four.
Yeah, and it's funny because you look at a guy, and we'll just say Rodolfo Pizarro, right? This is a guy, $15 million to bring him. And most American fans, even hardcore American soccer fans, have no idea who this guy is.
Fans of Liga MX, too.
It was the same thing with Pity Martinez, Joseph Martinez, Miguel Almiron, right? These American
Diego
fans.
Diego Valeri.
Yeah, I mean, the list goes on and on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sebastian Blanco, the list goes on. Ignacio Piatti, who has moved on, but American fans are in for a treat. The more that these clubs are willing to spend to bring these players over, just it's going to raise the level. So now American players, you want to be in this league, you've got to raise your level too. So you see a lot more emphasis now being put on Major League Soccer academies. The Dynamo are doing it. They're putting more money into it. So it's everything. It attributes to the collective growth of the league.
Yeah, and the healthy pressure is pushing people, and there's competition. I mean, teams like Atlanta and LAFC, they're not talking about getting in the playoffs. They didn't even talk about that. They're talking about winning the title each and every year. And Jason Longshore, who I know does the color down there, and we're going to have a bonus interview of his up tonight, which I just did. He says Atlanta and Arthur Blank want to be the best team in the hemisphere.
More power to them. Let's go. Push the other owners in the league. Push the other fan bases to expect more out of what their home teams are doing, the teams that they support. I'm all for it. I can't wait to see where this is in the next 10 years.
Eddie Robinson in studio here tonight. You see him on the Cube all the time. He also is the assistant coach for James Clarkson in the Houston Dash of the NWSL. We are going to get you back as we get closer to the NWSL season, get James in here as well. Some of the ladies on the team, we'll talk NWSL when we get closer to April. Infrastructure, pretty amazing. Miami, Austin, Nashville, Columbus, Sacramento, St. Louis, all new stadiums. Providence Park, they spent $81 million to redo that. The size of the league just continues to expand. I mean, when you guys won the title in 2007, it was a 12-team league. It's hard to believe it's doubled.
It's nuts. And I mean, I think you can even start looking at the training facilities, the one that Orlando just opened, and in Philadelphia and all these places.
No, didn't you like it over at Robertson and U of H when the javelin was getting thrown through the air?
I mean, it was a different guy
throwing the javelin, and I'm closing my eyes. I'm like, Jesus, am I going to witness something here I don't want to witness?
When we had games on Sunday and we had Saturday morning training the day that U of H had a home football game, we dressed in and out of the women's softball locker room.
I know where that
those are interesting days. Interesting days, to say the least.
So television, social media on another level now. Player conditions improved. We've talked about that. The investment, the bar being raised. How about standard of play and quality of play now?
The quality of play, nobody's going to argue that it rivals the top five European leagues, that maybe that it rivals Brazil, Argentina. I still think we're a little bit behind Mexico, but when you look at the athletic aspect of it, I think that MLS teams are on par with any league in the world when it comes to athleticism, speed, size.
Isn't it funny how Americans sometimes always want to bring up the point, only if we had our best athletes? That's not the issue at all anymore. That's a dead...
It really isn't. It really isn't.
That's somebody who's uneducated about watching the league and its growth.
It's funny because when I was in MLS, I was one of the bigger guys in the league. I'm 6'1", 210 pounds.
Oh, you're mean.
I was mean, but now when I'm milling about at the sports park and the Dynamo are doing their prehab, getting ready to go out, I don't even know if I'm average size anymore. I'm about the same size as the
guys.
And the Dynamo, I don't think, are the biggest team in the league. So these athletes and how fast the game is now and how mentally quick you have to be to even compete, it's mind-boggling. And it just speaks to how much Major League Soccer academies have to put into the growth of the young players in order to transfer them to this level.
So let me take you into high-profile coaches. We're talking to Eddie Robinson, former Houston Dynamo, my partner that I'm glad to have on the Cube with me. We also have Bobby Boswell on occasion as well. And also, we can't forget the great Cindy Bourbano on our broadcasts. We will not be broadcasting the first game. That's only in Spanish language. But we will be picking up in Game 2 for the Dynamo this year. So listen to these foreign coaches that are now in the league. Frank DeBoer, Atlanta. Guillermo Barros-Schelotto, L.A., Diego Alonso, Miami, former Rayados manager, Thierry Henry, Montreal. Just makes it exciting to go see some of these managers. You know, to see Henry in a CONCACAF Champions League game at Saprissa in Costa Rica, to me, was worth anything.
Listen, I got to play against him a couple of times, so I count myself extremely lucky. And the only unfortunate thing was his strike partner was Juan Pablo Anel, arguably two of the best to ever play in the league. It's wonderful now that these coaches, and especially overseas, you know, you look at the Man Cities and what they do, and they think that NYCFC is a viable stepping stone working towards that first team over there. It's fantastic. It's not a trash league anymore. People don't look at it that way. Everybody treats it with respect. Everybody treats it. We know what the standard is. Nobody's out of their mind saying, oh, we can rival the top league in Germany and England. No, nobody's doing that. But to know that these kind of coaches that were these kind of players see this league now as a viable stepping stone to reach the pinnacle. I mean, as a player, you want to reach the pinnacle. What's that? Your national team in a World Cup. Now, as a coach, the club you grew up at. Imagine Thierry Henry someday at Arsenal or Barcelona. Wouldn't that be something else? I mean, you think about all these
Juventus
things.
Juventus, where he started.
Yeah. You think about all these things. They're now viable options coming from Major League Soccer, where it used to have been. If you had Major League Soccer on your CV, sorry, you know, you're not coming to Europe, buddy. Maybe you're going to a lower league in Scandinavia or something like that. But now it's completely changed.
And when Tata Martino speaks via the press in Mexico, who he's handling so beautifully, unlike others who are sometimes caustic like Miguel Herrera, when Tata Martino speaks in Mexico and he's extolling the virtues of Major League Soccer and how it's improved tactically and how the quality is there and how it's very difficult, that's like gold. On the other hand, the one thing I did want to say about Rodolfo Pizarro going to Miami, that's the power of David Beckham that got him there. Because when David Beckham contacts you, you listen because he's a global icon, but he's also a stepping stone to getting you to Europe.
Who was it? Was it Neymar that came out in the press and said, I've already got my contract with Beckham. I'm going to Miami someday.
I can't trust the guy who listens that much to Justin Bieber.
Oh, okay, fair point.
All right, Andrew Carlson's even laughing at me. He's been very serious in our up. Are you happy, Andrew?
I'm in a good mood today, Glenn.
All right, you're in a good mood. Hey, by the way, being in a good mood means Eddie Robinson, I'm going to lock him in before he leaves tonight. March 15th, the Joe B. Napier Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic. It's hosted by the Cy-Fair Dynamos. 14th straight year they've done this, okay? Think about that. We got a youth soccer club for 14 straight years who takes a day for 2.5 hours, runs a clinic, $55. You go to thedriven.net. It benefits Texas Children's Hospital and the Snowdrop Foundation. We thank Trish Klein and Snowdrop for getting on board. They're going to be the recipients of that day. But it's really about awareness. So a big thank you to Olivier Finidori, Trish Klein, Dynamo Soccer staff out there. Take a break. It's presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. It is Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And also our good friends down at Advantage BMW Midtown. Justin, you better be listening to the show tonight, Justin.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Scratched out towards Gomez. The shot could just land here for Alexander Arnold. Touched in by Mane. And Liverpool lead 3-2. Sheer force of will.
You had to know they were going to pull off a game winner as we welcome you back to Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Glenn Davis in studio here tonight. The privilege of Eddie Robinson in here. Trent Alexander-Arnold, you heard him mentioned in that goal call. And Andrew Robertson, both outstanding. I mean, these two outside backs, just ridiculous. Their ability to get up and down. Last year combined with the most assists in the league. By the way, that was a rival Suns. That's a good band. We're welcoming you back. We are reminding you again, March 15th, Joe B. Napier Kick Cancer Clinic. This is hosted by the Cy-Fair Dynamos Youth Soccer Club. It's 14th straight year they've done it. It's March 15th. It's only $55. Go to thedriven.net. Now, this benefits pediatric cancer. Everybody knows somebody who's been affected by the disease, and you probably know somebody who has a child. It's tough stuff. It's going to benefit Texas Children's Hospital Snowdrop Foundation. A big thank you to Olivier Finidori, Trish Klein, and the Dynamo Soccer Club. It is at Dias Park. Again, $55, thedriven.net. You can all say donate $55, and a player will come out. Getting somebody's dinging us here. Oh, it's Victor Ariza. Victor, stop it. No, I'm trying to run a radio show here. As we welcome you back, we begin to talk Dynamo. Now, the Houston Dynamo will be taking on the LA Galaxy. What a great first game to get. You got Chicharito Hernandez coming. A couple of thousand tickets away from being a sellout is what I have been told. LA is coming into this one, very interestingly enough. Jonathan Dos Santos has not played any of the preseason games, the last three. Daniel Starris is out. So they've got injury problems as well. The Dynamo have a few, too. There are some concerns from Tab Ramos around Albert Elise. But Tab will be on the show later on tonight. We're going to do a nice long interview with him. He's going to field a lot of these great questions and really get you set up for the game from the point of view of the manager. All right. So here's a quote, Eddie, I don't like. And this is from Sasha Kleshchen of the LA Galaxy. But I do understand what he's saying. It's not one I like, especially the end of it. So listen to this. Sasha Kleshchen says, quote, "We're still working on things." He's talking about preseason. "We're figuring out what Coach Guillermo Barros-Schelotto has asked of us. We still aren't probably going to hit stride for a little while, which is normal in MLS. The most important thing is the latter part of the summer." I know he's correct, but I also don't like that. It's like setting the bar. It's giving you a backup position, conditioning the early part of the year, which we do know. Teams aren't going to be hitting all cylinders. They shouldn't be until about 10, 12 games in.
But what do you think of that? The important thing is the latter part of the summer. You know, if I was a fan, I'd say, hey, Sasha, okay, I'll buy my ticket at the latter part of the summer.
Yeah, well.
Got to watch what we say sometimes. And I know he's right.
He is. And we saw it last week with the CONCACAF Champions League games. MLS teams started off really well and then just crashed towards the end of games. So you wonder, can you glean? How much can you glean from that? I don't know. I mean, you look at the Dynamo and their games this past week and a half in Arizona. How much can you glean from it? I don't really know. I tried. Couldn't watch the first game. We talked about how frustrating that was. I think that's completely different. It's ridiculous from the league's. Yeah. It's ridiculous that the league would do something like that. It's just stupid. It's not on the teams. I hope everyone understands that the teams aren't choosing to do this.
No. It's Major League Soccer. And it started on one of the other games, panicking.
I
set my whole day out, you know, to watch this. Yeah. I was very excited, and I'm sure others were in the two different markets. And then all of a sudden you see it's not working. But then, of course, they did get it pulled up. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to watch the RSL game in its entirety and a little bit of that final game against Columbus. But, you know, Tab Ramos, he didn't show his hand. I don't think he did. I think when you look at the Dynamo, and I was at an event, a staff event today, and one of the things that Tab said was he was very happy with the team that's here, and this team is not going to look much different. He talked about a couple of the players, Marco and Zarek and Marcelo Palomino, and obviously the big one, or hopefully is the big one, Darwin Quintero. But he said this is the same team. They just want to get a little bit more out of this group. Being so dependent on Marmonotis and Albert Elise, you know, if Darwin Quintero can take a little bit away from that, but then you start asking yourself, how do you get Memo Rodriguez, Tomas Martinez, these guys on the field at the same time, Christian Ramirez? I mean, he's got a wealth, a plethora of good attacking players. Now it's, can he find the best front four that he can find that can create the most and keep the others happy with the minutes that they do end up getting?
Yeah, it sounds good. Now, I've got a long interview with him a little bit later on in the show in the second hour with Tab. So that'll probably, we're going to have him on at the top of the hour, I believe, Andrew Carlson. So there is some interesting things there, and we're going to get into that here in a second. One thing I do want to point out is that, and this is things that fans don't know, and we didn't know this till late, but the Dynamo played Oklahoma City Energy the same day they played Columbus. So there were some players that played in both games, including Alejandro Fuenmayor, who came off. Kiki Struna has been injured a little bit too. So there are some injury issues, and you know, preseason, people are heavy-legged. I mean, I just don't think you can read a whole lot into any of this stuff. And you can put the goals up. You can get excited when you win games. RSL had played a game that morning, too. Mm-hmm. So you just got to be very careful. So let's talk about what you just brought up perfectly, Eddie. So new signings, Darwin Quintero, Victor Cabrera, Zarek Valentin, Marco Maric in goal, Marcelo Palomino, who's only 18, and there have been some good things going on with some of the younger players getting opportunity in this camp, including academy players down to the age of 16. Those are the off-season signings. The Dynamo last year conceded 59 goals. That's an area this team has to improve.
Yeah, and you wonder how they're going to do that. Is it going to be tactically? I mean, listen, not to knock Maynard Figueroa, he's an outstanding center back, but he's not getting any younger. And he's playing in Houston, for all places, with the heat and humidity. It's going to be difficult for him. If Kiki Struna can stay healthy, that will obviously be huge. Adam Lundqvist made huge strides from two seasons ago. Last year was tremendously better. If he can continue to build, I think you're okay. Question is, maybe that right back position. Jose Bezama, last season for me, didn't live up to what I expected out of him. Now, having been here, having acclimated a little bit more, can he be that? And then Matias Vera, I think, for me, is the key. If he can stay healthy, for long stretches. He is arguably the most important player to the Dynamo defensively, to protect that back four, to break up plays, to maintain position, and get the counterattack started.
He was a bona fide success last year and did not need time to adjust to Major League Soccer. Yep. I don't think there's any question. Now, the question is the right back position, just to go back to that. Zarek Valentin will try to have a say there as well, coming over from Portland. Tab Ramos knows him very, very well. The question is if... Let's say if you play with two sixes and is Boniak again, can Boniak Garcia last the whole season? And do you get enough threat from those two positions if Darwin Quintero's on top of them behind a front three?
Yeah, I think if Darwin Quintero's there, you've got to play with two defensive-minded midfielders because he doesn't like to defend, and that's okay because when he's really good going forward, it doesn't matter. If he can do a little bit better than his 10 goals last season, if he can maybe get 15 this year and take a little bit of the pressure off of Manotas and Elise. And listen, Albert Elise has already made his intentions clear. He's playing out his contract, and he's probably going to try to get overseas. So this season is big for him, really big for him, because if he takes his foot off the gas and doesn't perform, he ain't going nowhere.
And by the way, that last sort of setup we talked about does not include Tomas Martinez.
Exactly. Tommy McNamara. Memo Rodriguez. Memo was fantastic last year. I think he's absolutely earned a shot at a starting position, but it's an embarrassment of riches.
Is he
up front.
A starter, or were his best minutes off the bench? I thought it was off the bench when the edge was taken out of a game.
Yeah, well... I was fortunate enough to have been able to have coached Memo when he was in the Dynamo Academy, and I always thought his best position was at the 10. But that's Tomas Martinez. That's who they've brought in.
Name me a 10 in this league who's an American player and born in the U.S.
Yeah.
Is there one?
I don't think there is one.
No.
Maybe Kleshton at the Red Bulls for a little while when he was there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, those are DPs. That's where the money's going.
I mean, I've always thought that was Memo's best position, and I would love to see him get an opportunity to play there. But I don't think it is
in the interior of a midfield. Being a diminutive guy who's very technical and quick, he wants guys near him to combine
His vision is fantastic. It always comes back to pedigree. When you've got Darwin Quintero and Tomas Martinez and those kind of guys, you say, well, remember Rodriguez, he came up through an MLS academy. He came from El Campo, Texas. Nobody knows where that is. He's kind of hamstrung there, but Memo's done a fantastic job of being persistent.
Seven goals last
He's absolutely been fantastic. He's the epitome of what you want coming out of your academy year in and year out. If the Dynamo can start producing more Memo Rodriguez, they're going to be just fine.
I think it's a no-brainer. It has to happen, and it should happen, quite frankly, without putting pressure on anybody. It's got to happen. It should have happened probably long before now. 4-2-1-3 was kind of what we just talked about there with Darwin Quintero above Boniek Garcia. Now, let's try – what about this? What about a 4-3-1-2? What about Boniek Garcia, Vera, Tomas Martinez as a three – Quintero in front of them, and Albert Elise and Manotas up front. Now, you might lose some of the wide game with Elise, but what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think Albert, if you can get him in one-on-one situations, there's not a defender in the league that can stop him when he's hungry and when he wants it. I think he'd be remiss to not play him out wide. I think you've got to figure out his starting position, how high versus how deep. When do you look to try to get him on the ball? Is it on a counter? Is it a long diagonal ball from the right fullback if he's playing on the left? From the left fullback if he's playing on the right? You know Adam Lundqvist is going to hit that ball.
No, Marich is left-footed too. He can hit a long diagonal ball to him. I mean, look, you get him in the lineup, you've got a threat. The thing is, if he's playing close to Manotas, then most of his runs are from inside out as opposed to bringing width.
And you look at how many assists Albert had last year. He was leading assist. What, did he have 10?
Yeah.
10 assists last year. He was the leading assist person for the Dynamo. So Morrow needs service. Morrow's not a player that's going to pick the ball up, spin some. Well, I'll take that back. There was the one against Toronto last year. That was the one off. But normally, Marmanotas is best when he's making runs in the box, getting service, and it only takes him one chance to finish across. So he's going to need that service. That's the one thing that if I'm Tab Ramos, that's what I'm worried about, getting Morrow service. Because if you get it, you're going to score goals.
Join the fun, 713-780-3776. Tactically, how do you want to see the Dynamo play? 713-780-3776. Glenn Davis, Eddie Robinson, Andrew Carlson behind the glass. Straight up 4-3-3. Now, the only difference here would be potentially personnel. But then would you start Quintero in a wide area, at least in a wide area, flanking Manotas? Now, you got two guys there that don't want to defend as much.
All right.
And that is Darwin Quintero and Albert Elise. And if you remember last year when Davey Arno was the interim coach, he tried to get him to defend more, and it didn't work really too well.
And I think if you look at...
He didn't like it, actually.
The last two very successful sixes the Dynamo have had, Juan David Cabezas, and then last year, Mateus Vera, something they excelled at was recognizing when counterattacks happen on the wing and coming out of the middle to step to the opposing outside fullback to slow down the counterattack and to help out so there weren't constantly 2v1s on the wings, and that's something that they had to worry about. But those guys were so good at reading it, seeing it right before it happened and covering that ground and being able to get out there. So if you can get that out of Mateus Vera again, if you have to play with two sixes to do so, you do it. And you leave those front four and say, you go do your thing. Be creative, be fast, be explosive, be dynamic. You're going to see the Dynamo score a lot of goals, but more importantly, give up fewer.
It's got to happen, because as good as Vera was, the team still gave up 59 goals, had the worst road record in Major League Soccer. They were solid at home, 10-3-4. They only scored 49 goals, so they dropped off a good 9-10 goals, which that's the difference in making the playoffs or not. So it's obvious that, goals for, goals against, both areas have to improve. This is a forgiving league. It's not that forgiving. You got to win on the road. That's something we'll talk about when we come back. How do we win on the road? That's a big one. 713-780-3776. Want to weigh in on the Dynamo? Dynamo opening it up. A lot of excitement here in 2020. They'll take on the LA Galaxy 2:30 at BBVA Stadium on Sunday. You can still get tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Stay connected to me on social media, because I'm gonna give away some pairs to the Dynamo Galaxy this weekend. Yeah, Chicharito's coming to town, and if you remember, his debut for Manchester United took place here in Houston against the MLS All-Stars. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Right now, we're going to take a break again, courtesy of John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We thank John and his firm for supporting the game of soccer, getting it on the airwaves here in Houston. DaspitLaw.com. We are just ourselves. I could use some help
getting out of this conversation. You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
A couple of years ago, three, four, maybe at the beginning, I said we want to write our own stories. We want to create our own history. Obviously, the boys took that really seriously, what I said there, and that's all cool, but just not too important in the moment. But it's so special. So the numbers are incredible, so difficult. We sat here a couple of times, we spoke about wonderful games, brilliant games, we spoke about hard games, difficult games. Tonight was difficult, obviously. So the number of wins you only can have if you win all these games, obviously, the difficult ones, the easy ones, if there ever was one, the brilliant ones, and the more... the rougher and or more grumpy ones. So that's how it is, and in the end, that's what counts. And we all know that it's very special. But in the moment, we are really just in the situation and want to recover and want to prepare the next one.
Victor, if Jurgen Klopp told you to jump off a bridge, I think you would. He's such an inspirational leader. Victor Ariza joining Eddie Robinson and I. Quick word here. That is a song called Ruby by the Kaiser Chiefs. All right, so we welcome you back, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. All right, let's get a little bit on this Chicharito train here. No question for me, second most significant signing in the history of the league with David Beckham. Mexican press is going to vilify this guy if he doesn't score goals here. Your thoughts on what Chicharito will do this year, and we'll go Victor, then Eddie, and what he means to the league.
I think he'll score a lot of goals, maybe upwards of...
give me a number.
Upwards of 25. Try to be up there with Vela. I think he has...
I like
that
it. Victor going big.
On his shoulder, his expectations are big. And then obviously marketing-wise, he's... he's
charts.
The dream, man. He's, he's what you would want on a team. And I think you can understand why people around here are kind of mad that they wish this would have been a guy that played for the Dynamo, because you want a guy that in one fell swoop is going to be everything you want marketing-wise and on the field, bring people to the stadium. I mean, LA Galaxy are over the moon, and you already seen this, the kind of stuff that the impact he's had over compared to Zlatan when he just got there, the way they've been
doing. By the way, Kevin Baxter from the LA Times will be on in the second hour,
right?
And he said the whole reason he's now traveling with the team is because of Javier Chicharito Hernandez being signed by the Galaxy.
I mean, obviously, it just adds another edge to the Liga MX MLS rivalries, right, where maybe the quote-unquote best Mexican players are playing in Major League Soccer, other than the guys, the handful there in Europe.
All right, let me move it to you, Eddie. Yeah, look at what Victor just said. Look at who's coming here now. Pulido. You got down in...
You already have Vela here.
You have Carlos Vela's here already. You have down in at Inter Miami, Rodolfo Pizarro. You got Diego Alonso as a manager from Monterrey. So this whole Liga MX, you know, MLS thing is coming together.
Yeah, I don't know that Chicharito's going to get over 20. He's another one. He's like Marmanotas. He's not going to dribble. He's not going to create things on his own. He needs service. He's
I agree with that.
Most dynamic, sneaky, clever forwards when attacking crosses in the 18, with his movement, with his manipulation of defenders, with his timing, and with his just sheer ability to finish. That's not something that's taught. That's God-given. That's something you're born with. You got it or you don't. And he's got it. So I think he's going to depend a lot on Christian Pavone. That if he needs to stay healthy, he needs to make sure he's getting that service. Jonah Dos Santos as well. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be there for him. If he gets service, he's going to be tremendous. He's going to score goals for fun. If he doesn't, it's going to be a tough year for him.
Yeah, he needs delivery. He needs a wide game. I don't think there's any question. He's the total opposite of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So the blueprint is, if you play the LA Galaxy, you shut down Pavone, because that is a big part of the supply line. After that, it's Katai, who they got from Chicago. And apparently he's struggling a bit here in preseason. But after that, I'm not sure. You know, do you move Sebastian Legette into a role where he's a bit of a distributor? I mean, you got to have a wide game.
Yeah. Sasha, but the one other thing I'll say about Chicharito is his work rate defensively. Yeah. He chases, and he's he just doesn't ever give up. He never gives you a second to breathe.
Yeah.
And he's going to create chances for the Galaxy this year just with his work rate off the ball. I mean, he's a special player. There's a reason that he was at Real Madrid. There's a reason he was at Manchester United. I mean, this guy is... He's something else, but he needs help.
Best years for me were at Bayer Leverkusen. Yep. And I kind of wish he stayed there, because he was an absolute star there. They loved him. He was banging in goals left and right. I kind of wish he stayed there, but I understand the ambitions of players going to other leagues.
Yeah.
Chicharito Hernandez, too, by the way, I'm going to remind people again. He debuted for Manchester United here in Houston against the MLS All-Stars and scored, I think, their fifth goal in that game. But if you remember the makeup of that crowd that night, that was like 50% of the people there.
It's going to be
for Chicharito.
It's going
to
be
and would you say, Victor, next to Canelo the boxer, do you think Chicharito's the most noteworthy current athlete that is still in their career?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe more because of the impact of soccer. I mean, I guess it depends on I mean, Canelo's
popularity in the
a
sport,
big deal, yeah. But I think
boxing's pretty darn popular in Mexico. But, Mexico loves its boxing.
And then obviously Canelo doesn't really have a rival as far as like with the Chicharito fans, right? You have
boxing's dying.
Well, no, but I mean in the sense of,
don't tell Oscar De La Hoya
that. If you're a Mexican boxing fan, you're a Canelo fan, right?
I love boxing.
if you're mostly the general Mexican soccer fan, you're Chicharito. Except if you're a Club America fan, then you're like, nah, Jimenez is the best player, the best forward right now. And then there's obviously the sector that likes Vela as well.
Yeah. Hey, Eddie, you're going to like this. So my sister lives in San Diego, and she gets up early one morning, walks up the end of her driveway. She's got her big dog she's taken out, and she notices there's two blacked-out window Suburbans there, and there's a couple guys with tracksuits on running up and down the hill, and she has some idle talk with a couple guys standing around, and, yeah, this is a boxer named Canelo. And my sister has absolutely no idea who he is. And she comes in and she goes, yeah, it was the weirdest thing this morning. I walked out to the edge of my driveway and there was some boxer named Canelo running up and down the hill. My sister's name is Meredith. I go, Meredith, do you understand? This guy is like one of the most popular athletes in Mexico. And she goes, oh, no, but the guys were nice. They were, you know, they all talked. So that's a good one. All right, so... I'm looking at Darwin Quintero, Victor Cabrera, Zarek Valentin, Marco Marich, the new goalkeeper for Joe Willis. Marcelo Palomino's been getting minutes in preseason at 18. You got to think he's going to get a run at some point this year. Those are really the key acquisitions. Did the Dynamo miss in not getting an additional sort of two-way midfield player to complement what they currently have? Because we did hear Matt Jordan on this show say that, look, we need an eight. We need a guy that can go sort of box to box and be a threat. Because when you looked at that video they put out about your former teammate, Rico Clark, remember that video they put out? How many times did we see him scoring from longer range or coming from deep to score around the 18?
Is that too many to count? Unfortunately, I was on the field to experience most of those. It's an interesting dynamic because that's not the kind of team that the Dynamo have been. They've been very up front. We're a counterattacking team. We try to get the ball wide. We want to get forward. But teams figured that out, made them go to plan B, which is a possession and trying to break down, where the Dynamo went and said, we need a number 10. They got Tomas Martinez. Maybe not that player they need. So now you've got Marcelo Palomino. I still think you need to give Memo Rodriguez a shot in there. But I think that with some of these players, if Tab Ramos
can play him over Tomas Martinez?
What's Tomas? How many goals has he had in the last two seasons? Five, six?
I'm just saying. He was a DP.
Not as many, and his assist went down.
It's you know, you only get so long, right? There's not a lot of second chances in professional sports. You either put up or the team has to move on. And I'm not saying that's what they're going to do or need to do. Tomas is still very young, right? It's not like he's 28 and, well, we've wasted 5 years on him. That's not the case. But you've got to have that player. And I think if Tab Ramos just turns the screws tactically and mentally, especially in transition from defense to offense, that can change a lot for the Dynamo, because if they can really get Albert Elise, Darwin Quintero, Mara Minotas, get these balls forward, let that front four just run wild and defend with at least five or six, I think you got a winning formula. But I think there needs to be more discipline. Tab needs to be a little bit more hands-on coaching.
Remember, Tab is a big fan of the 4-3-3 and a pressing game. He's not the kind of guy, and you would know this by watching him and how he played the game. Everybody knows this. He's an attacking guy, and he wants to attack, and he wants the ball. And I don't think there's any question you're going to see a team that is certainly going to hunt the ball for certain portions of games. Now, the real question is once the front three and the early pressure is broken and you got two guys that maybe don't work as hard in Albert Elise and Quintero, if they're on the field, how does your midfield handle that in front of a back four?
I'm less worried about that than I am that back four, because if you're high pressing and that back four is on the midfield, at midfield, because that's basically where you tell them you need to be at midfield if we're going to high press, how about the space in behind? Because the Dynamo don't have any speed in the back. So that would be my biggest concern.
It's interesting to contemplate this, and this is why Tab's getting paid. And by the way, we're going to ask him these questions in the second hour. We're going to do a nice long interview with him. He'll join the program. Really excited about that. By the way, I'm going to predict right now this will be the greatest interview with the manager for the Houston Dynamo in many, many years. That's all I can tell you. And I think listeners are going to love here in Tab Ramos this year, and fans of the Dynamo, you're going to get more from him as a coach. It's going to bring interest to the team, and he's going to provide valuable leadership from a media role as well, right?
Oh, absolutely, without question. And he's got some very experienced staff with him that he trusts and he's going to depend on to help get this team to the next level, which I think the Dynamo are definitely capable of. I just think they need the right tactics, the right manager. Right, manager, not coach, but manager, to keep some egos in check, because you're going to have a lot of really good players that aren't going to be starting week in and week out. And if he can keep those players happy, keeping their minutes productive, hey, I think Dynamo could do well this year.
Hey, Victor, don't forget, look at the staff Tab Ramos has. Omid Namazi's been his right-hand man. He admitted that to me on this show. He's got Pablo Mastroeni, who, if not for the injury to Chris Ormus, who knows if he would have ever had that unbelievable World Cup in 2002. That's a nice-looking staff along with the other guys that were with the Dynamo last year.
Gives them plenty of control and training, too. Kind of just sits back, lets them work. Looks like a national team training when you go out there.
All right, we're going to rock and roll this weekend. 2:30 BBVA Stadium. Houston Dynamo taking on the LA Galaxy. It's the 25th year of Major League Soccer, if you can believe that. That's kind of scary. I was involved with the league in 96. That's even more scary. I'm going to go get my age checked and also, I don't know. We're all right. We're hanging in there. I'm going down swinging, that's for sure. Victor, thank you for jumping on. Eddie, thank you for coming in studio tonight here. We got our first broadcast on the Cube in 2 weeks. We're looking forward to that and with the legendary Cindy Verbano. As well. All right, we're going to take a break. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to start with Tab Ramos, the Dynamo manager. We're going to go into Kevin Baxter of the LA Times. We'll finish it off tonight here with our 25th season piece with Dave Durr, who coached the Dallas Burn for 4 years, and the legendary Hugo Sanchez. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5.